This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That is Kim St. Ange. Carl Middleman in here with us this morning. Ethan Bright will be along with another news a little later this hour. Happy you're with us. Channel 4 reporting this morning that the Senate last night, after hours of Democrat filibuster, did indeed pass this local control bill. If that's true, I guess it will now be reconciled against the House version of it if they made any changes. And then once they agree on whatever the final version is, it would go to Governor Kehoe. So this thing may be done. I was unaware of that. I didn't get to watch, obviously, the 10 o'clock, their 10 o'clock news this morning, last night, but they are reporting that this morning. And that was news to me. I've got portions of it recorded in there, that morning newscast, but I didn't know that. I texted a couple of our senators who must be sleeping in this morning because I did not have that update.
Well, and I think when I get it, you know, having worked in news, I understand that you're trying to get everything on the air first. But when you look at their website, which is what I would go off for headlines, their headline says State Senate begins debating state control of SLMPD bill. If passed, city would need to add millions of dollars to the budget deficits, or the police budget, rather. So that's great if they passed it. But yeah, if you're looking on their website, just a heads up, it looks like they have the old version of that
having worked there. If this still holds true, that just means that the 18-year-old that controls the website is not in the office yet this morning.
You're not wrong.
I'm sure that's changed over the years since I left.
You have to write your own web story there, but now you probably have AI to help you, and then it is some 18-year-old who's making sure that everything gets posted correctly. Right.
And yeah, it's not every story.
I know that's a little harsh, but that was my experience when I was there. They wanted you to write it, and then they had the lowest paid person in the newsroom was responsible for getting that stuff posted up, and that was just kind of how that went. It's not quite the network level experience you might think it is when it comes to getting this stuff posted. Maybe highly talented people. I'm not saying that. I mean, Elon Musk is using some 19-year-olds to eliminate government waste.
Now, that's true.
They're making $0 an hour and working 80 hours a week.
Yeah, that's true.
But they get that. What a resume builder.
It's absolutely a resume builder. Happy you're with us. We got, of course, it's a big day in St. Louis, the big basketball tournament. Tournament time is my favorite time of the year. I heard Ackerman say it the other day. He loves this time, and he loves October because sometimes the Cardinals are still playing baseball, and then it's the beginning of basketball season and the beginning of hockey season, and all of those things are happening. But his second best is March. For me, it's March. I love that because you're right on the verge of the big basketball tournament. And of course, my wedding anniversary, I should mention that, is in March. Have I mentioned that before?
When is the exact day?
The 27th.
Okay.
Yeah. The 27th, which is always right in the middle of March Madness, which we tried to warn my mother-in-law about years ago, but it just made no difference. You lose control of those things, right?
Do you, though? I did not.
We did. We lost control of that. We were living out of state.
I know that happens, though.
She moved our wedding date because she couldn't get the venue she wanted.
Wait.
She just called
couldn't
us up.
Couldn't get the venue that she wanted?
Correct. Okay. Couldn't get.
The, he didn't care.
I didn't
well,
care.
No, but wouldn't it be up to Michelle?
No. It was they had agreed on the venue, but they couldn't get the date. That date, it was not available.
For the venue so Michelle, your wife wanted.
Had selected,
okay.
So they had to move it.
I thought you meant that your mother-in-law wanted it.
She made
like,
an
oh
executive
gosh.
Decision and called us up one day and told us, hey, by the way, I've moved your wedding to the 27th. Oh, perfect. No, that's not perfect. That's in the middle of the NCAA tournament. So every year on our anniversary for many years, she's been a really good sport about it and let me go to a sports bar or somewhere that had a TV so I could see... if Kentucky was playing that night, I could watch part of the game.
You're still having
dinner. First world problems, Mark.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's been a constant in our relationship, and it's been a thorn in her side. She's been a pretty good sport about it. But this year, I don't know if that'll be a concern or not because of we've been up and down and all over the place, and that's late in the tournament. March 27th is late in the tournament. You're getting mm-hmm. close to the Sweet 16 or the Final mm-hmm. 8 at that point. So,
well, yeah. my Michael's a CPA, and our wedding anniversary is April 10th. So that wasn't ideal.
Right
he does taxes
tax
on
deadline.
The side. He's an accounting manager. That's his day job, but he does taxes on the side. So I remember when I picked that day, he's like, really? Really,
he was a trooper,
and he did it. And we had to get married on a Sunday because the venue we wanted, like, because everything was backed up from COVID for years.
That'd give me Michael's
phone
number.
You could not find a Saturday.
Does he take phone calls from friends?
He does.
Okay.
This is like phone a friend.
Hey, by the way, is this deductible? All right,
I just laid off a whole bunch of IRS agents, so.
Don't worry about it. We'll all be good.
You can let things get by this year.
I don't know about that. All right, coming up, we'll get to Tom Ackerman, talk a little bit more about basketball. Mizzou's heartbreaking loss to Oklahoma last night. That's two in a row. And, of course, the Missouri Valley Conference, which starts this morning at about 11. Is that right, Carl?
Noon. The first game's at noon.
Noon. Carl Middleton will be there at 9. So,
as soon as the show's over.
Yeah, we'll get to that about 6:35. In the meantime, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Donald Trump is an early failure. He has no intention of delivering anything other than retribution. He is a petty tyrant who was surrounded by complicit flunkies.
A petty tyrant who was persecuted by his political opponents for 6 years. Meanwhile, Stacey Abrams... The governor in exile from the state of Georgia received, what did they say? How much was it? $2 billion for her foundation from the Biden administration. Who's getting enriched here?
And we don't know everything Elon Musk has done with his high technology ass. We don't know what he's being accused of by some, as it may relate to the election.
Yeah. Yeah, Mad Max, man, she's mad at everybody. Now she's turned her ire to Elon Musk, and she believes he corrupted the 2024 presidential election.
The city is also safer because of our welcoming city ordinance. That law makes sure that the city's police resources are focused on our local priorities.
Which is not enforcing the law. That is the Chicago mayor. When you hire a socialist, this is what you get.
DJ, it is such an honor to have met you. What he has one more thing to say. I won't interrupt you.
If you're a Democrat and you're being mean to President Trump, I'm on your bumper.
Love that kid. That's DJ Daniel. If you didn't watch I almost called it the State of the Union, the address to the joint session of Congress the other night, you missed it then when Donald Trump, you've probably seen the highlights at least, announces this kid is now an honorary team member of the Secret Service. Under the Biden administration, he would have been put on the front lines because of his height. But in the meantime, he did get a little badge and all that stuff, and he gave a big hug to the Secret Service director. So then yesterday, at some point, he made it over to the White House, and he gave Donald Trump he's a hugger, apparently. He went up to Donald Trump in the White House, and he gave him a hug, which looked really awkward. Trump sitting at the Resolute desk, DJ walks around the corner and wraps his arm around him, and Trump gives him one of those little two pats on the arm like this. It looked awkward for some reason. I don't know why.
DJT's not a hugger.
So then he walked outside and he did an interview with I think it was One America News.
Yes.
Was there? No, it was Real America News.
Yes.
It was Real America News. Mm-hmm. Out on the front lawn of the White House. And it was endearing. Listen to this interview, please.
I honestly wanted to see Donald Trump in real life, and now it's actually came true. And to my friends, I know one of my friends told me to say this to Donald Trump, but I didn't say it to him. So good luck, buddy.
Last thing, because we know you got to bounce. What would your one piece of advice for the Secret Service be?
Please stop being mean to President Trump, because if I see you being mean to him, I'm coming after you.
I love that. I think you need to become the director of the Secret Service. DJ, it is such an honor to have met you.
Hold up, I got one more thing to say.
What? He has one more thing to say. I won't interrupt you.
If you're a Democrat and you're being mean to President Trump, I'm on your bumper.
That's hilarious. He means it.
I am on your bumper. He needs to go have a talk with Mad Maxine Waters, don't you think?
Did you see he said he has had like 13 brain surgeries?
I did hear that.
And he's like, when God calls me home, it's my time, and I'm just going to keep going until the gas runs out of my tank.
You know, I commented on this to Carl earlier. It's great that they recognized him and all this stuff. I never heard him speak. I only saw him the other night when he was in Congress and was giving people hugs and high fives and all that stuff. I expected the voice of a small child
so
to come out of his mouth, and he sounds like a teenager.
Well, yes,
but I'm
he's
sure
13.
His growth is stunt. Well, I mean,
he
yeah,
meant like 18.
Like 18.
Yeah.
But I
no,
guess his
right,
growth is
older.
A little stunted because of his health concerns.
I thought he was like
his voice
7.
Is very
and
deep.
Then, yeah, I heard
yeah,
he
I
was
know.
13, heard the voice, and was just confused.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Good. We're going to get to Ackerman here coming up at the bottom of the hour. And I promised you that there was a. Just about a Scott Jennings bite of the day every day of the week now on CNN, where he's schooling these folks over. They don't know what to do with him. We'll get to one of those for you coming up in just a minute.
The reality is Donald Trump had a perfectly good night because he articulates issues that the vast majority of the American people are basically in alignment with. And the Democrats had a terrible night because they acted like children, just like Fetterman said. I was interested to see Walz attack Fetterman. The 2028 Democratic primary for president is obviously on. And if that's the best, I don't know who the leader of the Democratic Party is, but I know who runs it. Donald Trump. He runs both parties.
They don't know what to say to Jennings. His confidence, he's spot on with his analysis of what's going on in the Democratic Party. Because I don't know who's running it, but it's not very smart. You got people like Sonny Hostin. Angry that all the Democrats didn't walk out the other night. Listen to her here. Go to cut 16 there, Carl. Please.
While I didn't watch it, I was looking for signs of an opposition party, which is what the Democratic Party must be at this point. Not a resistance, because resistance is passive. Opposition is active. And I think that what I saw when Representative Al Green stood up and said, you don't have a mandate to take away Medicaid. And he was tossed out. I expected the rest of his Democratic caucus, his rest of his colleagues to walk out with him. Because alone you can survive, but together you thrive. That is the energy that we need. They should have stood with him in solidarity.
They should have stood up and all walked out, which would be unprecedented in the history of the country. So we should ignore the rules of decorum just because we're mad, just because we lost an election. That's what galls me about all of these people who act like it's the end of the world that Donald Trump got elected. And that's what the left is doing. We had to live through 8 years of Barack Obama and his promise to radically change America. And he almost succeeded. Fortunately, the American people came in and rescued us with Donald Trump 1 and now Donald Trump 2. Everything happens for a reason, I'm convinced. Because he wouldn't be, as Kim and I have mentioned before, nearly as effective now had he just had a second administration and beaten,
two consecutive
Biden
terms.
In 2020.
He needed the 4-year break.
Yes.
It put a fire under his butt, and it helped him get his ducks in a row.
Yes. I think that's absolutely true. Now, so over on CNN, they've got their own version. Jennings is in the morning, and they've got this guy named Harry Enten, and he's supposed to be the guy that's looking at numbers for them all the time. He's on there with Anna Navarro, and this is what he points out, and they don't like hearing it, but even Anna Navarro admits that her fellow lefties didn't react properly in places they should have during this speech by Trump. Listen.
Recognize the tender emotional moments of when the people at the First Lady's box get recognized. That doesn't mean that you stand up for the lies. That doesn't mean that you stand up for the stupid policy proposals. But should you stand up and applaud the kid with cancer who's having his tender moment? Absolutely.
Yes. I would just Thank say you, there's a reason why congressional Democrats have like a 20% approval rating. And even amongst their own party has like a 40%, the lowest Quinnipiac has ever measured. And I think last night and sort of what's been going on over the past few months is a gosh darn good illustration of that.
Agreed.
Gosh darn it. That's what Harry Enten says. Gosh darn it, this is a pretty good illustration of that. Even among Democrats, they have a low rating. Maybe that's because people like Sonny Hostin and Anna Navarro hate them. I don't know. There's a lot of self-loathing there. Maybe not quite as much as they hate Donald Trump, Orange Man bad, but it kind of speaks to it. I just don't think they get it. It's another thing that pissed off the guy, I think, from the Glover Show the other day when he said, what would you recommend that Democrats do? I'm like, well, just to start, and I'm no person to give advice to the Democrats, stop taking the 20% side of every argument. Mm-hmm. If you know that 80% of people support cutting government waste, arguing that we shouldn't cut government waste is never going to be a winning argument. Like, that's where you better start if you have any hope for the midterms and not just trying to go to court and judge shop to stop things through court actions, which seems to be the entire strategy beyond Al Green walking out of the House of Representatives the other night during Donald Trump's speech. Wow. Coming up, Tom Ackerman is in here. He is, of course, our favorite Hoosier. And we were talking about that yesterday. That got a lot of reaction. We'll talk to him about the Missouri Valley Conference, which starts a little later today. Stay tuned. Yeah, just a quick reminder. We do have Brian Kilmeade coming to town March 22nd. And he's going to be out at the factory in Chesterfield. We are so looking forward to having Brian back. You can still get VIP opportunities where a bunch of us, including me, Annie, Mark, will all be out there. We're going to be in the VIP greeting room ahead of the show at the factory. If you've already got tickets, you can buy an add-on for the VIP. And if not, you can still go online, go to 971talk.com, and find your tickets to Brian Kilmeade for March 22nd.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman, before we get into Missouri Valley stuff, man, the Oklahoma Sooners looked good from the start of that game last night, didn't they?
Porter Moser, my buddy, coaching the Sooners, former SLU assistant. I love
wow.
Porter, but yeah. Not when he's playing Missouri. Yeah, they look good. They opened it up. They scored in their first seven possessions of the game. And took a 14-6 lead. I'm not worried about Missouri's offense at all. I mean, they can score and score in bunches, but their defense sometimes they can get attacked, and that happened last night. But it won't hurt them really. It might hurt their seeding a touch in the SEC tournament. But Missouri is an NCAA tournament team. They're in. So now, you know, you were playing a desperate team. That's what happens in hoops. Oklahoma's trying to make the tournament. They had to get that one to keep their hopes alive, so they won that, and they're hoping to advance in the SEC tournament and get the committee's attention. But yeah, Mizzou will be fine.
So predictions for this upcoming game on Saturday, Mizzou versus Kentucky. Mark is going to the game.
I've decided I'm going, Tom, because
good.
Experiences matter.
They do.
More than money. I'm going to go to, it's a great college environment. I said to Kim, regardless of whether we win or lose, and we'll be the underdogs on Mizzou's home court, It's just a great environment, and I love it. I'm going with my son and my buddy Ken, and we're just going to have a great time.
I love the way you put that. Experience is more than money. You know, I say that about my career, actually. I mean, could I be making millions and millions of dollars doing something else? I don't know. Maybe if I had studied, you know, a different course, I don't know, and you know, caught a break here and there. But I have, you know, experiences that will last a lifetime already, and that's worth it to me. I mean, I remember and I feel so many great things, and I can tell stories about being in great buildings, great games, great moments, meeting people. Kentucky, Mizzou's going to be awesome on Saturday, and I hear you, man. Predictions, I say Mizzou will win the game. I think that they will be in a similar situation. They want to finish strong. It's not a game that they must have necessarily, but they definitely want it. They want to finish strong going into the SEC tournament, and Dennis Gates will have them riled up, especially after losing to Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't want to go into this. After losing back-to-back games, actually, they lost to Vanderbilt in overtime. Now they lose to Oklahoma. They can't lose this one, and the place will be rocking. It's one of the great places, I think, when Mizzou Arena is full. They have one of the best student sections. It's very steep. You know, it's like they're all like on top of you, and it's a huge student section, and they'll be, you know, they love to shout all kinds of nasty stuff. I mean, it gets
nasty. Mizzou fans are
as
like
a Kentucky
that?
Fan, fans get I know that.
That's funny.
Mizzou fans get really nasty, actually.
I went to several Mizzou football games as a student, but never a basketball game, which I regret.
I'm in the corner, lower. Bowl in the corner, so I'm hoping I'm not near that student section.
I'm guessing years there. Well, they were okay.
08 to 12. I graduated.
Yeah, they were pretty good. Yeah, they were pretty good. I actually went to the Elite Eight in 09. That was Kim English when he was.
I remember King.
Young
Kim
man.
English.
That was Mike Anderson's team that went to the Elite Eight. They beat John Calipari in Memphis. I was at the game in Arizona, and then they lost to UConn, to missing a chance to go to the Final Four. And with two more minutes in the game, they probably would have won it. Like, the momentum was all Missouri, but they just ran out of time.
I can't believe you remember all these details after
I was
many
there.
Years. See, you talk about experiences. You remember that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go, Mark.
You know, I just want to thank my mom, my dad. it was such a great experience, though, to be able to do that. So I have actually credentialed myself for the Final Four, just in case Missouri gets there, because they've never been. Missouri,
really?
Even all the years, you know, that year, Norm Stewart, all of his incredible years, Hall of Fame career, never went to the Final Four. Missouri's never been. So if they were to make it, it would be historic. And I think that, you know, that they're a team that could be a threat. But to be honest with you, all these SEC teams are. I mean, it's a really, really good league. They've all kind of pushed each other around, and now you get to see what they're made of in the NCAA tournament. My guess is we're going to have lots of surprises. We always seem to in the field of 68.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the committee will stack a ton of SEC and Big Ten teams, especially SEC. But I do look forward to seeing the little guy rise up. And I think, you know, one of those will come out of this Arch Madness tournament. Drake is a phenomenal team. My pick to win Arch Madness is actually Bradley. I think Bradley, from top to bottom, is the most experienced, best team of all of them. But Drake is incredible. And if they end up losing, let's say, in the final to Bradley, both should get into the tournament. I mean, you can't leave Drake out.
They're what, 27
and 3? 27-3.
Yeah, it's the number 1 and 2 seed.
I mean, it's just stupid. So if they end up winning, let's say, the first two games, and then they lose in the final, and they're 29-4. You can't leave them out.
No.
Now, the committee, I said that last year, and the committee left Josh Schertz and Indiana State out, which was ridiculous. Indiana State would have beaten half that field, in my estimation, the way they were playing. They went to the NIT final and ended up losing. Anyway, I think it's going to be awesome over there. Enterprise Center, 12 teams. Winning team goes to the NCAA tournament, gets an automatic bid.
And what are you doing over there? Are you?
I'm the host, TV host. Yeah,
the TV.
Nice. So I'll be.
Things,
you know,
right?
I'm the one who brings you in. Welcome, blah blah blah. We talk about the bracket. We talk about hype up the matchup and everything. Then we turn it over to play by play. I'll do the halftime, and then between games, I'll have some featured interviews on the floor.
So you'll have a very busy schedule, basically from early this morning, like Carl, until what, 11 something tonight?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh my gosh,
it's a couple of days that I've been doing it for, man, over 20 years now. I was the sideline reporter for a long time, and I think this is my fourth or fifth year. It started during, I think my first one was like during COVID. So this is that, and that tournament got canceled. And then the next year I hosted. So this is my fourth year, I guess. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, it's a long day. So we'll get over there around 10, kind of, you know, get everything figured out. We go on the air at noon and there are four games and we wrap up around 11.
Is there any Cardinals news coming out today that you know of?
Yeah, Jordan Walker is okay. He's got a sore knee, but at least he doesn't need surgery or anything. It was such a weird thing that happened on Tuesday. He made a catch out in the outfield, and then he's like, ah. And his left knee kind of wrenched on him. He stepped on a sprinkler head.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
That sounds painful.
And it's just, first of all, you would say, well, why are there sprinkler heads in the outfield of a game where you have million-dollar athletes out there? Well, most of these minor league, that's how they water the grass. So they have automatic, you know, they don't, like, drag a hose out there. But,
I'm surprised,
you know, it's just one of those weird things that happen. No, they're all grass.
Oh.
Just one of those weird things that happen, so. Huh. It's unfortunate, but that's what happened to Jordan Walker yesterday. That was the big news of the Cardinals, who lost their game to the Astros, but results in the Grapefruit League don't matter. This is all about just getting work. The word training in spring training is very important.
I was just looking over your shoulder there. I apologize. We got to Channel 4 pulled up on the screen this morning, and I heard them tease some big Cardinals announcement today, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And apparently, they're going to air some of the baseball games on their new sports channel.
Matrix Midwest. Yeah, yeah, they'll do a couple of over the airs, I guess, is what they're going to announce.
Sounds like it. It looks like they just announced.
They have Saturday's Blues game too.
And they I saw this, so I don't know much about this, but the trade deadline's coming up for the Blues, right? So, It's Friday. Okay, is there any more talk of what could happen?
The Blues are in this race, so I'm buying. I'm going, trying to find a piece that can make me better. Blues are a point out of the playoff race, and the way they're playing with the hottest goaltender on the planet, I'm on it. I'm pro Blues right now. Let's go. They won a nice game last night. Robert Thomas is on fire, 11 game point streak. Good hockey team. If they're feeling good, I'm not slowing it down now. They feel like they can win this this playoff spot, so go get it.
Do you have 30 seconds before you have to go?
You guys, of course.
Well, I'll be fast. You're a proud Indiana Hoosier.
Yes.
We were talking about how in Missouri they use it as a derogatory term. Have you heard
just in
that?
St. Louis. No, that's a St. Louis thing.
Just almost. A St. Louis. You're saying not even Missouri.
No, that's a St. Louis thing. Yeah, that's a St. Louis. That guy's a Hoosier. I'm like, really? You went to IU?
You're so proud to hear that.
That's what I thought when I moved here.
I lived in McNutt. Where did you live?
Not that kind of Hoosier.
It's the St. Louis slang. Got
but
it.
But Tom's from here, so he
yeah, I'm from here.
Okay, so had you, before you went to Indiana, had you heard that term?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'd come back, you know, with a shirt that says Hoosier on it.
You must live in South County,
dude.
Apparently, so they say it's toward people in South City or South County. I've never heard that. It's anyone, anywhere.
St. Louis slang. We got a lot of them, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Tom, thank you.
All right.
Good luck on the tournament this week.
You. Yep,
you bet. Thank you. Yes, you bet.
Food's good.
Yep. The food is good. Carl's looking forward to the food.
Do you
food.
Get to eat some of that? For free?
Yes.
Yeah, between games, they'll let him loose and he'll get
between
to
sessions, not between games.
Well, they had some NCAA tournament games here a few years ago. I got to go down there and get a press pass, and
that
was fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I worked that too.
Yeah.
What don't you work, Carl?
City.
That's
Thank
about
you for
it.
Coming well, up with an answer.
No, yeah. They don't play music they during don't. The games. They have the people chanting, as Mark heard.
Exactly.
For 90 minutes.
And then it ends up the score 0-0.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, I'll give you that news on state control that I told you I heard just a little earlier that the bill did pass. We'll talk more about that coming up. We'll have any other news.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news,
NBC has announced that Tom Lamas will take over as anchor and managing editor of the NBC Nightly News this summer, following Lester Holt's decision to step down. Lamas, currently the anchor of Top Story with Tom Lamas, will continue in that role while leading Nightly News.
You never heard of him.
I don't know who he is.
Oh, I've heard of him. But what was the reason why Lester Holt stepped down?
Does he make boots?
Dateline.
Yes, I think.
Oh, that's Tony Lama. Sorry. No, I've never heard of him. Which just tells you something about the state of network news these days. I mean, there were other people you probably heard, more recognizable names. None of them were selected, so Who knows? Why in the world did they get rid of Lester Holt? At least he was a well-known name.
Yeah, did he quit or did they let him go?
He said that he'd rather focus on Dateline.
Whatever.
You know, that's what what's-her-face Nora O'Donnell said is, oh, I'd rather do these special projects and that's why I'm no longer going to be anchor. I'm sorry. I just don't believe that. The people who are, she said it exactly like that. The people who were in those positions, they like
Nora.
They like that having that power.
That's a cutthroat business, and she gutted people along the way to get where she was, and she didn't give that up on her own.
I agree. She did not give
they
up
came
on her
up,
own.
They came to her and gave her an opportunity to step away before they were going to fire her. I don't
a quote-unquote opportunity.
That's kind of how it's a cutthroat business.
XYZ.
Yeah.
The producers of Hamilton have canceled the musical's planned 2026 engagement at Washington, D.C.'s Kennedy Center, citing what they call a recent purge of staff and programming under the Trump administration. Producer Jeffrey Sellers stated the show cannot, in good conscience, support the new direction of the institution.
Because it's not screaming left, progressive, liberal hotspot anymore.
And President Trump is the chairman of
Of the board, whatever.
Well, I mean, it's not president. Did he appointed somebody to that job? Who was it?
He made himself.
Was it
chairman?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't. I mean, they all use it for their own advantage when they're in the White House. The Obamas, the Bidens, all of them have done it, and so Clintons. And suddenly, nobody will go there because a Republican, particularly Orange Man Bad, is president of the United States. Give me a break. Let him rot.
Tell us how you really feel, Mark.
Let him rot. Let him pound sand. I don't care.
He should have made RFK Jr., a Kennedy, in charge of the Kennedy
Center. He's saving America. He's trying to make us healthy again.
People think RFK Jr. is so crazy, they hate him, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Justin Timberlake is reportedly considering an NSYNC reunion to win back fans after a rocky period in his solo career. Facing backlash for last-minute tour cancellations, low ticket sales, and a DWI arrest, the singer has struggled with audience engagement, especially after fans criticized his set list for featuring too many new songs.
It was not good when he was here.
But and I grew up like a big NSYNC fan. I already know Justin Timberlake's birthday is January 31st. I had a poster of him growing up on my wall.
Did you really?
I did. I'm not ashamed to say it. Well, anyway, would the other band members really feel good about that? Like, oh, the reason why you want to have this reunion is because your solo career sucks.
Well, what are they doing these days?
I say money talks.
Money talks.
I mean, I guess.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
They already got back together for Trolls.
I know.
And?
A worthy
you wouldn't
cause.
Go?
Yes.
No. No.
Like Backstreet Boys? Would you go see the Backstreet
How
Boys?
How much am I paying? Like $100? Maybe.
Easily.
Maybe. I'm not the person who's going to spend $300 on a ticket.
Backstreet Boys tour with New Kids on the Block all the time.
No, I was an NSYNC over Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Well, you had to pick one side, Mark. When you were a 90s kid, it was a big deal.
Yeah, Mark, just like the Stones or the Beatles, you had to pick one. Or you could like them both.
What about
the Who?
Yeah. I was a Who person. But go ahead.
After more than two decades on the air, ESPN's Around the Horn will sign off for good on May 23rd. The cancellation is part of a broader change at the network, including ESPN's exit from MLB coverage and its shift towards a standalone streaming service. So,
I don't ever remember watching it.
Around the Horn is the one with the four box of people.
They had four writers on there, and the guy would ask them questions.
Yeah, it was a talking heads show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks like Alex Ovechkin is closing in on Wayne Gretzky's NHL all-time goals record of 894. Right now, he's got 885 goals as of his recent game against the New York Rangers. He scored one last night. So he's just 10 goals shy of breaking the record. So,
and if he doesn't do it this season, he will play one more season until he does it.
He's going to get it.
He'll probably get it.
Has he played longer than Gretzky?
Yeah.
It's taken him longer to get there.
Yes. I'm sure Gretzky would say that then. You know, it's like you always have to make sure.
Wayne has said nothing.
Kind of like the basketball thing, you know, where they say that, so-and-so broke the record. And it's like, yeah, but the scoring was different before. Yeah,
sounds like Gretzky.
There's always the asterisk.
Gretzky needs to call up his friend Tanya Harding to kind of keep that from happening.
She knows some people,
classy,
right?
Hey, Ovechkin, take a knee, buddy. Come on. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jim Talent, the former Missouri senator. And we're going to talk more about the real ID, which has been pretty controversial. So there are people out there still trying to cancel real ID around the country. We'll get to them at 7:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.